Many years ago, the late Dr. Francis Schaeffer and R.C. Sproul were talking together, and Dr. Sproul asked Francis Schaeffer, the great evangelical leader, what do you think is going to be the big threat to the church in the future? And Francis Schaeffer said, statism. And that thought, that concept never left Dr. R.C. Sproul. Well, now there's a new book that contains an essay by R.C. Sproul and Francis Schaeffer and C.S. Lewis and Dwight Eisenhower and D. James Kennedy and Michael Milton and all sorts of other people, including me even. It's called Statism, The Shadows of Another Night. It's articles and documents on the subject of statism. That title itself comes from Dwight Eisenhower's inaugural address, 1953, the first one. How far have we come in man's long pilgrimage from darkness toward light? Are we nearing the light, or are the shadows of another night closing in upon us? Now, the gentleman who put this book together is named Charles Rodriguez, and he joins us now to discuss this issue of statism. Charles, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jerry. It's good to be with you this morning.
I guess you go mainly by Charlie, and your article was called Statism in the Church. This is very impressive. I mean, there's a whole big section from Dr. Peter Lilback, The United Statists of America, you've got George Grant in here, Tim Keller. It's really phenomenal. How did you put all this together?
Well, I started with the definition, which was of statism, which was given by R.C. Sproul, and that's a good place to begin, statism, in which he says it's when government is viewed as ultimate reality, and we have no finer theologian today than Dr. R.C. Sproul.
So in other words, when government is God, that's the problem of statism.
Yes, exactly. When the people perceive it. They may not understand that they perceive it that way, Jerry, but that in reality is what happens, you know, when we have a welfare system here and in Europe as they do. The people become used to that. In fact, one of the articles was written by Mostyn Roberts in the U.K., mm-hmm. Statism in the U.K., and he says, you know, we've become quite comfortable, you know, with our socialism. He's being realistic there. And I think that's what's happened in America, too, to the point where we don't want to give it up, and then we allow the government then to begin to control our lives. It's always been a danger, but it's, I think, much more of a danger today, and government officials then, you know, begin to take, you know, control of that and begin to push things to the edge, and then we don't realize, you know, what's happening, and pretty soon they are in control of our lives.
Well, here's a quote from R.C. Sproul within your book. Throughout the history of the Christian church, Christianity has always stood over against all forms of statism. Statism is the natural and ultimate enemy to Christianity because it involves a usurpation of the reign of God. Now, as Christians, Charlie, every day, we should pray, or, you know, on a regular basis, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Does that in any way contradict statism?
It certainly goes against it. In fact, when you pray the prayer that our Lord taught us to pray, when you pray thy kingdom come, in reality, Jerry, in my mind and in my study, you're praying, you're asking God's kingdom to come, which cannot exist side by side with the kingdom of Satan. In other words, you're praying for the destruction. So when we pray this, of Satan's kingdom, when we pray this prayer and we're thinking about our country, we're thinking and praying and hoping that everything that opposes God will be destroyed. You know, and God is in control of that. He is the judge. God, vengeance is not ours. It never has been. Mm-hmm. God says that very clearly in his word. But God can handle this far better than we can. So, yes, I would say when we pray the Lord's Prayer, let us think about that. Let us pray thy kingdom come, and the reality of that is that we're asking God to deal with this other kingdom, and he can do a whole lot better job than we can, Jerry, but at the same time, I think he expects us to be active. I think he expects us to take our part. You know, I was reading earlier about Francis Schaeffer and the Reformation, during the Reformation, and he makes a tremendous statement at one point. He said the modern, I've lost my place here, Jerry, just one moment.
Francis Schaeffer and the Reformation.
Yeah, in almost every place where the Reformation had success, there was some form of civil disobedience or armed rebellion. The bottom line is that at a certain point, there is not only a right, but the duty to disobey the state. And I would say that in our history, our recent history, certainly with Martin Luther King Jr. and the whole civil rights movement, this was passive disobedience to the state. It was not violent overthrow, as we've seen, or attempted overthrow, as we have seen recently in Missouri and other states, you know, where the citizens, some citizens, are literally trying to overthrow the police, every form of decent form of government. So we have a very difficult time that we're living in now, but historically, I think Christians have always been called upon, and the church has been called upon, to resist the government when the government becomes evil. One of my favorite quotes is Mary Queen of Scots, who remarked that she feared the prayers of John Knox more than she did the mighty armies of Europe.
Mm.
And Jerry, when we can get to that point, when literally the government trembles at the godly prayers of a D. James Kennedy or a Michael Milton or other leaders in our country today, Dr. Al Mohler at Southern Baptist Seminary, when we can get to this point, that's a healthy point.
Yeah.
And we need to get to that point. We don't have to pick up literally arms that our army, our mighty armies use and our police forces use. We need the police, and we need, but, you know, our prayers and our resistance is far greater in a spiritual sense. But
I think people need to understand and, you know, clarify here. You're not in any way advocating violence.
No.
There does come a point, though, where you have lawful civil disobedience. And you see that in the scriptures, by the way. The example, for example, with the Hebrew midwives, they were commanded by Pharaoh, throw the boys, the baby boys, away, kill them. And they didn't. They saved them, including Moses. You see that in Daniel being thrown in the lion's den. He refused to not pray to God, and he would have cost him his life, you know, but God preserved him through in the lion's den. Let me quote Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. speaking of civil disobedience. This is from your own book in the essay by Dr. Peter Loback, with whom I had the privilege, by the way, of co-writing a big, thick book about the faith of George Washington, George Washington's Sacred Fire.
Bestseller, absolutely.
Yeah. Was it New York Times bestseller? I know it was a national bestseller. I didn't know that about the New York Times. That's cool. Anyway, here we go. This is what Dr. King said. One day the South will know that when these disinherited children of God sat down at lunch counters, they were in reality standing up for what is best in the American dream and for the most sacred values in our Judeo-Christian heritage, thereby bringing our nation back to those great wells of democracy which were dug deep by the Founding Fathers in their formulation of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. Now, this is an important quote, because what Dr. King said, and I can say this from other places as well, from his own writings, he didn't decry America's founding. What he said was, our problem is not with the creed, it's that we're not living up to the creed, that all men are created equal. I think what's happening today, though, is you have so-called progressives today in America who are saying, oh, no, you know, the country was flawed from the very beginning, and we got to start all over again. And before you know it, we're not going to recognize this country anymore. And it's this problem of statism that you're talking about.
Absolutely. And, you know, I find that conservatives of every background, of every color, of every age, young as well as elderly, Jerry, understand this. You know, there is something about conservatism rather than radical progressivism that in my mind is more biblical. I know Charles Krauthammer said recently on Fox News that he did not believe in, he was an atheist, but I think he's an agnostic, but he said he didn't believe in God, but he feared him. And I think that's a healthy place to be. Mm. I think we can walk alongside our friends who are conservative. They may not be Christian. They may be agnostic. But they believe in the rule of law, and we have to have that in our country. And European countries have to have that also. And I think this is one thing that Christianity brings into society. It's the appreciation for the rule of law that we have to have it, but we also have to have grace as well. You know, we have to. That's where we differ with others, other religions. We certainly believe in the grace that Christ brought to us, because we were all like Paul on that road to Damascus, going against God, and then Christ touches our hearts, and then we are a different person. We don't think the same way, and everybody is like that. And I know Dr. Kennedy with Evangelism Explosion emphasized that, as well as you, Jerry, and others there at the D. James Kennedy Institute.
Mm-hmm.
This has been your whole life there, and this is what you stand for, and we all have benefited from that in America and across the globe.
All right, we're talking right now with Charlie Rodriguez, and he has put together a book on the subject of statism, overreaching government, when government, in a sense, declares itself God. And he's got tremendous assortment of different essays by, listen just to these names, I'll just rattle off some of these, Timothy Keller, Ronald Reagan, Peter Loback, Michael Milton, Francis Schaeffer, Dwight Eisenhower, D. James Kennedy, me, Charlie Rodriguez, C.S. Lewis, R.C. Sproul, John Frame, Douglas Kelly, George Grant. And here's a quote from Ronald Reagan on the very back cover of this book, Statism, The Shadows of Another Night. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness. Wow, Ronald Reagan. That's from 1964.
All of these articles, Jerry, are precious. They're jewels, and I, every time I pick this book and up and I open it, I turn to something that is just dynamic. In fact, I'm looking now, Jerry, at Tim Keller's forward to his book Bonhoeffer, or to
Eric Metaxas's
Bonhoeffer. He says, at this point, he says, by the time Hitler's ascension, much of the German church understood grace only as an abstract concept. God forgives, but we know that the true grace comes to us by costly sacrifice. And I think that's what's happening now. This is for those like us, Jerry, and many people, many Christians across our country, it's costly sacrifice. And Keller goes on to say, and if God was willing to go to the cross and endure such pain and absorb such costs in order to save us, then we must live sacrificially as we serve others.
Mm.
And so it's not cheap grace, as Bonhoeffer talked
right.
about. It's costly grace, and this is what's happening today. But it's necessary. But all of these articles, whether by C.S. Lewis or John Frame at Reformed Seminary, or my good friend Nell Chin-Chin with the African Bible College, she's written on the perspective of statism during their time in Africa, and in particular Liberia. You know, of course, that's where they're having the crisis now with the Ebola, but the Chin-Chins are going back to Africa. But she understood statism. She saw it actually happen, that a godly leader in Liberia, but the people demanded something else, and God allowed that to happen too. But he told them ahead of time, just as in Samuel, 1 Samuel, what was going to happen to them, what was going to take place. And that's a beautiful passage, 1 Samuel 8, 9. The Lord said to Samuel, "Obey the people, for they have not rejected you, they have rejected me."
In their desire to have a king. And then it goes on from there, and you basically have the rise of the statism. And we're basically out of time. Charlie, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for putting this book together, Tanglewood Publishing, tanglewoodpublishing.org for more information. Again, the name of the book, Statism. Charlie, God bless you.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.